Amen. 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 Amen and amen. We're going to have a time today. Amen.
Yes.
Glory
yes.
to God. This is our first annual men's convention.
Yes. Amen.
We had a workshop yesterday and consecration Friday night. And we've just been having a wonderful time. And today we ended with the message. It's been called, the name of the series is called Men of Valor.
Amen.
Amen. It's called Men of Valor. I found out in this life that sometimes to be valiant, you better go through some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you have to prove to who you have to prove yourself who you are and what you're made of.
Right.
Men of valor. The word valor in the Hebrew means strength, means efficiency in mind or spirit. And in the Greek, it also means bravery. Amen. I know. Yeah. Nowadays, I hate to say it, but a lot of men are taking the easy way out, or what they think to be easy. Robbing jewelry stores, breaking into folks' houses, taking their Christmas stuff they got for their kids.
Amen.
They
Amen.
Think that's an easy way out. That's not the easy way out. When I was growing up, we got into it, we fought with our fists. Now you fight with guns.
Right. Knives.
Well, no, they don't use knives no more. They tell you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You know, I remember, you know, when we were taught that you took care of your families.
Right.
That made you valiant.
Yes.
Amen. Nowadays, we don't know who the father is.
Right.
But you know what the good thing about it is? God has a remnant. God has a remnant of men that want to do right by him.
Amen.
Amen. And anytime you want to do right by God, you're going to do right by other people.
Yeah.
Man.
You're going to make sure that you love folks that hate you and pray for folks that despitefully use you and encourage folks that don't never have an encouraging word for you.
Right.
Didn't say it was going to be easy, but we're expected to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Man.
It's part of our calling. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be part of our nature, part of the character of God in our lives.
Yeah.
Something that we have to live up to. When I was praying, talking to God about what man, yesterday we talked about, Pastor Keys talked about Joshua, Pastor Relford talked about the verses that we used here for the convention, and I talked about Pete Paul. Amen. And God was said, hello, Sister Helen. Good to see you.
Amen.
Amen. So it is so important that we understand these things.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the book of Judges. You know, when you read, Judges, just start with the 13th chapter. When you read about some of these guys in this Bible, you ask yourself, how is it that God allowed them to live?
Yeah.
And accomplish some of the things that they accomplished. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Samson. He was a character in the greatest sense. But you know what I found out while studying this? I had to do the whole book. And I found out that his life was intended by God. It was purposed by God. If you listen to certain words when we read some of the scriptures, you'll hear God talking to him and already salutating what his life means and how long it's going to be around. Samson was a man. Samson practiced lust in the eyes.
Yeah.
He practiced lust of the eyes.
Yeah.
Or lust of the flesh. And that just goes to show you sometimes the scripture which says the gifts can operate without repentance. Because out of all of this, I only heard Samuel repent one time for the stuff he did. Start the 13th chapter of Judges. And the crazy thing about it is, every different judge, it always starts out the same way. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Again. What does that sound like? And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for what? 40 years. We know the word number 40 represents trial, test, and tribulation. Jump over to the third verse. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold. Behold means to perceive. What you can't see in the natural, believe is about to take place. Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, I can only imagine what she was going through when he told her that. Because I did some research and she was in her late 70s. An angel show up on your doorstep and you in your late 70s and tell you that you're about to have a baby. After you done gave up on the idea 30 years ago. What would some of you ladies do? Don't answer. I forgot you was over there, Mother Harris. You hear what she said? She said, have a baby. Oh, good gracious. Thank you, Jesus. I forgot you was over there. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee. Now listen to this, very careful. And drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite, or Nazarene, unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistines. Now, that's kind of strange because here they are in 40 years of bondage. But God has decided to raise up a man to wreak havoc against the Philistines. But it ain't just the Philistines that Samuel, that he messes with, Samson messes with. He messes with the Israelites too. Yeah. Now, we have a man here who God has just anointed, give him power beyond measure to wreak havoc amongst the Philistines. The very people that he's supposed to be killing are the very women that he loves.
All right. Yeah.
Now he's an Israelite, but he don't like Israelite women. He likes Philistine women. And we know Philistine represents what? Flesh. Yeah. Well, what does that tell you about Samuel? Oh, man. But he said, a razor shall not come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the what? Out of the hand of the Philistines. You know, God decided, you know, I'm going to use flesh to deliver flesh. That's basically what it is. Because that's what... We've seen him do it, haven't we? If God can do whatever he wants to do, and he tends to do it quite often. So here we have I can't remember the guy's name, Samson. Just thinking about some of the stuff that he gets himself into. Yeah. Samson's name is prolific in itself also, because Samson's name represents the light. But if you read the story of Judges about Samson, you'll find out that there was nothing to light about Samson. Samson had two things on his mind. Sleeping? Well, I was sleeping, was with them. And fighting. See, ordinarily, you could take a vow. You know, you could take a vow with God for a certain amount of time and dedicate yourself to God. But Samson was different. He was dedicated from his mother's womb.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was called in his mother's womb. So there was already going to be something different about him. And some of the things that I read about, and then I dug down into deep some of the things that he did and some of the things he said was just kind of crazy. Because he's a Nazirite, which means he's supposed to be completely dedicated to God. Am I moving along pretty good?
Yeah.
I didn't forget. That's reverse psychology. Yeah, I got it. Go to verse 22. Samson, son child. The bright sun. Delight. And Mona said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. He would not have received it. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these." And the woman did what? She bare a son and called his name Samson, the sun child, the delighted one, the bright sun. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. When you look at the word grew, it has a very significant meaning. It doesn't mean he grew in size, but it means he grew in years. It's talking about his 20 years of reign. Meaning he had already come to the understanding of who he was and why he was here. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times in the camp of Dan between Thoren and Esthaol. That's letting us know that when he was coming up, God was already showing him the authority and the power that he had. So, as the story goes on, he gets into so much trouble. That just goes to show you that you can have a mindset to change your course of life if you so decide to. Let's jump over to 15. 15th chapter. Now, Samson had decided to marry. Well, he gave him a riddle. If they could answer the riddle, they had 7 days to answer the riddle. I'm just going to paraphrase this because we're not going to read the whole story. And if they could tell him what the riddle meant, then they would give him 100 colts and vice versa. It was like a bet, a standing bet. If you can figure out this riddle in 7 days, then I'm going to give you 100 of this. And if you don't, you got to give me 100 of that. And so they couldn't figure it out. So what they did was they went to Samson's wife and told her that they would kill her and burn her house down if she didn't tell him what the riddle meant. Well, she decided it was better to live than to die. So she told them what the riddle meant. Well, that made Samson very angry. 15:1. No, let's go jump up to 18 on the 14th chapter. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said unto them, "If ye had not plowed with my heifer," talking about his wife.
Amen.
That's what it says. Ye had not found out my riddle. What he was actually saying was, if you hadn't threatened my wife, you'd have never found out what this riddle meant. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Now, he didn't kill the guys that answered the riddle. He went down into the valley and killed 30 other guys. But because the guys answered the riddle, he killed those guys, took their garments, and brought them back and gave them to the guys who answered the riddle. What kind of sense does that make? You figure they done threatened his wife about the riddle, and instead of him killing them, he goes and kills 30 other opposite people. And then brings the people that threatened his wife and gives them the garments. Now, because all this is taking place, she assumes that he hates her. So, of course, you know, he disappears. Now he goes crazy. Luke 15, but it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, how many heard that? Visited his wife with a kid. Let me read it again. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a what?
Kid.
With a kid. Why does she have this goat? A kid of a goat. Because she's about to make a sacrifice. And she's not supposed to make sacrifices. So here he is. And said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. Check this out. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to your friend. But that's okay, because her younger sister is prettier than she is. Take her. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says.
Right.
The father, verily I thought thou utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, now I do them a displeasure. What he's saying was, since y'all done did all this, I'm going to act just like the Philistines. I'm going to tear up some stuff. Because remember, the Philistines ruled them. God put the Philistines over them to hold them captive, to have them in torment. Well, now he's saying he's dedicated himself to be just as bad as the Philistines. So what he does, he catches 300 foxes and took firebrands. Firebrands are things of fire, like candles light, and turn all the foxes' tails. Now that's a miracle in itself, that one man can catch 300 foxes. And catch it now. When you think of fox, you think about something like that, right? In the Hebrew, the word fox means jackal. That's a rough little rascal. Now he done caught 300 of them. Now remember, God always does things in threes. But he's got 300 jackals tied all their tails together, and he's going to set them on fire between the tails. And then it says, and when he has set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines. Like when I was a kid, I had to repent when I got old what we used to do to cats. I know y'all ain't never done nothing bad. Especially stray cats.
Yeah.
Catching and throw some turpentine in the tail, let him go. Oh, they go crazy. Tyrone looked like he guilty. Nevertheless, here you have, he said, lit the tails of these 300 jackals and sent them into the Philistines' wheat. Just destroying all the wheat. But he's not done yet. He barked. Then it says, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion, and the Philistines came up, burnt thee and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of Rock Edom. Now, what's happening here is, the very ones who he gave the overgarments to came back and killed the man and woman. Burn them up anyway. So what does he do? He kills him. He is a killing machine. And then he goes to the top of the Rock of Edom, which is a mountain in Israel. Now, he got Israelites mad at him. Because in the ninth verse, then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. Because now the Philistines are agitating the Israelites. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up to do to him as he hath done to us. The 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the Rock Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that you have done? Sometimes we just don't want no kind of deliverance. Amen. We like sitting in the muddy water. And they said, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. Just tell me that you ain't going to do it. Tell me you ain't going to get it. What he was saying was, if you want to live, you need not to get involved.
Amen.
And when he came into Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and that was burnt, with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And then began to sing about it. With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an have I slain 1,000 men. But you notice how it says, when he got there, how the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. How God is enhancing him to do what he's doing. So y'all gonna catch that in a minute. Just think what you can get away with if you decided to do something and God gave you power to do it. And it didn't matter how crazy it seemed, you knew God was going to give you power. Now remember, he was tied up. They did tie him up. The Israelites did tie him up. And they were going to take him to the Philistines. But it says, the cords that were on his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. That means God had... You know, the Bible says God is a consuming fire. So the bands were burnt, and then he proceeded to do what he was going to do. And then he got mad at God. And he was sore thirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst? You give me power to kill all these guys, but now you're going to let me sit out here and die of thirst. And fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But here comes God. Clave and hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk it, his spirit came again, and he was revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Ichakor, which is in Lehi until this day. And he judged Israel in those days of Philistines 20 years. Now, when you hear that, that almost says that he's already dead, doesn't it? So he judged the Philistines 20 years. Period. But that's not what it meant. What it means is what God had told them when she first became pregnant with Samson. When she told him, God told her, that he would live to do what he did, and he would die. That would be the only way he could get out. So, if you read the whole story, it kind of sounds like God had him come forth out of the womb of his mother to use him for a season, because God already understood what he was about. Don't get it twisted. God knows the intents of our hearts. That's why we have to keep these bad boys clean. That's why David cried out, "Lord, create clean that heart in me, because I know you're looking at me. I can't hide it from you." So now here comes Miss Delilah. Here comes Miss Delilah, whom he is madly in love with. Well, we know the story tells us that she ties him up. When the Philistines get there, he breaks loose. The next day, she ties him up again. When the Philistines get there, he breaks free again. And then in the 11th verse says, "And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man." And see, he's leading her on. He's making her think that if they bind him with certain ropes, that he can't get loose. It's just a big old game to Samson. We act like that sometimes. I can do what I want to do. Say what I want to say. Be the way I want to be. Because I got God on my side. Amen. "And she fastened it with pin and said unto him, Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep," I'm in the 14th verse, "and went away with the pin of beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death." Meaning he became so impatient and grieved about it that he felt like it made him want to die. So he told her his secret. So he gave her... He told her his secret. Well, you know the story. You've heard it somewhere or another. It says, she told all her heart. He told her all his heart. Said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this he wants, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money into their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. Well, you have to understand something. What did God tell back over here? When we were talking about when he was being born. God told her, "Now therefore beware, I pray." That's the 4th verse of the 13th chapter. "Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing." That was not for her, that was for him. So he's having himself a good time every night with Delilah. And then he finally tells her the truth about his strength, and he endeavors again. Well, this time while he's in a drunk slip, she shaves his head. Listen to this. Verse 19, chapter 16. "And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head." How many heard that? The number 7. Speaking of maturity. The number 7 speaks of maturity. In most cases, it means speaks of perfection. But we know we'll never be perfect, but we can be mature in God. "And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." After she cut the locks off, she began to do things to him to see if he had really lost his strength. Well, you know, you've probably seen the movies how they came in and they blinded him. took his sight from him and made a mockery out of it. Threw him into jail. But just like God, when they brought him out to ridicule him and to afflict him, because they figured the Spirit of the Lord was no longer with him. 16th chapter, the 28th verse. Let's start at 27. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport, while they made ridicule of him. And Samson took hold of the what? The two middle pillars. Number two represents what? The number of witness. Now he's about to be a witness for the power of God. 29. So now he standing between the pillars which the house stood on, which was borne up of all one with his right hand. Now you have to imagine how big this place is, considering there's 3,000 men and women on top. I'm sure it was a Colosseum. So here they are. Samson wants to get, he's standing between these two pillars, the foundation of the building. And so Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which was borne up, and one of with his right hand and the other with his left hand. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." What did God say? God had already said to his mother. And that shows you that his life was predestined to do what he did and nothing more. But he had a chance to get himself back with God. But there was only one way he could get himself back with God, and that was for him to die. "Let me die with the Philistine." And he bowed himself with all his might. The word bow means humility. He committed his heart, his mind, his spirit back to God. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his whole life. Wow. Now remember, he'd been running around killing Philistines for 20 years. Yeah. And he killed more Philistines in the leading of his life than he did in all those 20 years of killing them. Got news for you. If you hold fast to your profession of faith and you do it without wavering, God will make you valiant. Amen. Because you'll find out that you have strength that you didn't know you had. Amen. You'll find out you have an inner peace that you didn't know you had. Amen. You'll find out that there are things that you are capable of which are to the good that you didn't know you were able to do. All right. All men have not given up.
Amen.
There are men in this earth that decided they're going to live and they're going to do it the right way.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Yes. Glory. Samson decided, "I'm tired. I done messed up with God. They took my sight." And to take Samson's sight, they hurt him. Because you know he liked to look at beautiful women.
Yes.
You took the very thing that I loved the most, was my eyesight. That's the first thing they took from him, Brother John, was his eyesight. He was more concerned about his eyes than he was the locks of hair. We get so caught up in other things, we forget the power of God. We forget that we made a vow to serve God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You know that commercial, the Marines, they're looking for a few good men. God is too.
Come on now.
He's looking for a few good men.
Amen.
That will declare in their hearts and in their spirit that they're not going to be moved.
Amen.
That having done all to stand, they're going to keep standing.
Amen.
Regardless of the trial, regardless of the tribulation, regardless of the trouble, they're going to stand for the things of God.
Amen.
It's not going to be easy. But I've been loosed for you. God said, "My grace is sufficient."
Yeah.
That means that my love in your life has the ability to comfort you in whatever battle you're going through.
Man.
Yeah. Amen.
Man.
But like First Lady preached last week, stay focused.
Man.
We've got to stay focused.
Yeah,
we've got to keep our eye on the prize.
That's right.
Most men have forgotten what the prize is. That's why you see more women in churches than you do men. And if you see more men in church than you see women, the men in there trying to find a wife. You know, I hear some crazy stuff. A lot of folks don't know I'm a pastor, and they get to talking. And then the first thing come out of their mouth is, man, I'm going to go to church and get me a good one.
Yeah.
They don't know. You're going to go to church and get you a hellion. Because we ain't going to be the first to admit that we in here because we got problems. I didn't run to God because everything was perfect in my life. I ran to God because I was tired of me.
All right.
Amen.
Ask me how I know. Been there, done that. Almost cost me. Men, we got to hold fast to our integrity.
Amen.
This is a new day and a new hour that we have to create within ourselves. We have to stop waiting on other folks to make things better and make them better ourselves.
Amen.
I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror.
Come on now.
I'm more than that.
Come on now.
Right.
Come on now.
You put a mountain up in front of me, I ain't never going to get over it. But Angelo, I'm going to go through it somehow.
Man.
Come on now.
Right.
I'm going to find a way to get through it.
Come on now.
Because we're more than conquerors. That means that you are actually more than a mere man. God is looking for some men of valor that's going to proclaim in their lives that this is the day of the Lord.
Yes.
And I'm going to offer up a praise in spite of any condition.
Come on now. Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody has to set the standard.
Yes.
That God is still God.
Amen.
God is looking for some men of value. You may have fallen. You may have messed up. Samson messed up. Screwed up. But in the end, he gave his heart to God, and God did a great work through him.
Amen.
You know what keeps us back? Us. This conscience, this flesh we have in us. This old man tells us that we're not worthy. You done screwed up. Ain't no way in the world you can get back to God. But God said he won't forgive you already.
Amen.
We don't want to forgive ourselves, and people around you won't.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
When I see God, I want him to say, my son, valiant son.
Amen.
It ain't what you say, it's what you live.
Yes.
See, what we fail to realize, remember, valor means strength, excellence. You're only as good as your word.
Amen.
Why? Because what's in you, it's going to come out you.
Amen.
And if you don't think so, let yourself get put in the right situation. Andy and I, we used to travel to Chicago to record. I told you a story about Sister Allen. We used to go down there to record once a month. I had just given my heart and life to God. I was on fire. I gotta say that again. I was on fire. Believed I could raise dead cats. Your car don't start, I'm gonna lay hands on that bad boy. It's gonna crank up. That's how I felt. But I get down to Chicago, and there was another guy named Randall. And we were back there working. And he got to messing with me. Them cables were heavy. Them 100-pound cables we were pulling back and forth to the church. And he dragging his feet, going on, man, you better come on here. And he called me out my name. I called him everything but a child of God. And guess who was standing there? Pastor E.R. Allen. And all I could do was break down and cry. Because she had just congratulated me on giving my heart and life to God. That hurt me more than anything in my life. You know what she did? She came over, she hugged me, He said, baby, I got some in me too. And I've been doing this a lot longer than you have. She said, it's all about keeping it. She said, if you stay with God, he'll stay with you and he'll teach you how to do this thing.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
So I'm telling you, and don't you think for 1 minute it ain't still in there. We under this assumption that when we give our heart and life to God, God reaches out and take everything out. Don't you believe it. Let somebody cut you off. Or flip you the bird. You behind them and they go, poof. After they cut you off. You all on their bumper now. The valley will just say, all right, bye. And keep it moving. God is looking for some men like that. Not like that beginning Samson. But like that ending Samson. Who bows before God. And said, Father, forgive me. If you will, give me the power to do what you created me to do in the first place. And that is to deliver Israel from these Philistines. I will commit my life to you. And that's exactly what he did. He busted the pillars. And the crazy thing about it is, Judges ends in with him at that story for the simple fact is that somehow or another, all the Philistines that were in that part of the country were there. They were there. Why were they there? Because they wanted to see this man that had been defeating the Philistines crawl and beg for his life. People want to see you crawl and beg for your life.
Yeah.
Hmm. Amen. Instead of helping you up, they'll kick you to the side.
Yeah.
Or nowadays, they'll sidestep you.
Right.
Oh man, I didn't even see you laying down there. Right, you walked by me 3 times.
Right.
And I'm not talking about men out there. I'm talking about men in the church.
All right.
I want to be a man of valor. With the strength of God. The ecstasy of God. And most importantly, the love of God. Because see, the Bible says the love of God conquers a multitude. That means it overwhelms anything that comes your way. But God is just looking for some men of God that's going to say to themselves, I can do this in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And I shall not be moved. But I shall stand on God's principles, on his concepts, and I shall allow this word to lead me and guide me into all truths. You know, we make the statement, I come too far to mess up now. I don't care how far you came. You can still mess up.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to make it in by the skin of my teeth. I say, open your mouth. Where's the skin? See, we try to get in them things we can't depend on. Only thing you can depend on is God. It says God is the only one that's faithful all the time.
Amen.
So I figured it out. Well, if I can stay with him and stay in him, then I'll have the faith to say unto that mountain, be thou removed.
Yes.
And whether it moves or not, I can still get through it.
Amen.
Because I've made up in my mind already that I'm a man of valor, and it shall not stop me
Amen.
From doing what is right in the eyes of God. Everybody stand.
Amen.